Welcome to Nurturing Wellbeing with Kurt Kelly, and I am Kurt Kelly. And this week, we've got a special treat for you. I have Representative Patricia Williams. She's from Broward County. She has a heart for foster children. She's lived it, and we're gonna get to hear her story. So without spending a lot of time in the opening here, let's just get right to spending some time with Representative Patricia Williams. From the Pompano Beach area, District 92, which, by the way, I used to be a legislative aide in District 92 back in the day, back in the mid-80s. And so I know that area well. She has brought her passion and experience up here to Tallahassee to engage the legislature and to be a champion for children. Representative, welcome. I gave a little reason why I think you ran. Tell me why you decided to jump into this politics pool.
Before I ran for state representative, I served as city commissioner for the city of Lauderdale Lakes.
Okay.
And during that time, the ones that I actually served with, they felt that I was a good champion for children because I had a big mouth.
We need that. Somebody has a mouth that's willing to speak up for children. A lot of people sit back sometimes. And I don't know if you are right now, but you have been a foster family. You've opened up your home to bring children into your home. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I have been a foster parent for more than 10 years.
Wow.
And during that time period, I have had over 25 children come through my home. Not at one particular time, but, you know, during the process. If I could do it all over again, I would. I just feel that as a person, I don't have a lot of money, but I have love. And I know how to take care of kids. I know how to be a parent. And that was what I instilled in, you know, the young ladies that actually came into my home. I always fostered teenage girls. But if the teenage girls had a sibling set that came along with them, I would open up my home for the entire family to try to keep them together.
When you told me that initially, you fostered teenage girls, I said, oh, that just explains a lot right there.
But, teenage girls.
And I love what you just said. And by the way, I hear this more often than not when I talk to our foster families. You certainly don't do it for the money because there's no money in it. I mean, you're going to lose money.
That's true.
And the reality is people open up their homes. I think that's one of the beautiful things that I get to see in Florida as how we've really tried to develop a system of care that infuses folks to engage and bring their love. They're not supposed to be all the expert in child welfare. Kids don't need experts in child welfare. They need people who love on them. And these children have been deeply traumatized in a lot of respects. And so that tells me a lot about your character and who you are. And I really appreciate it. By the way, I get to watch you in committee. This year, I don't get to get over there and be in person, but I get to watch you on television. And it comes across. I mean, you ask very smart questions about child welfare. And I very much appreciate that. Representative, I see that you're wearing a lapel flower. Beautiful. Tell us about it.
Well, I wear the lapel because I would like to think I'm a ray of sunshine for a child. When they're in their darkest moment and they need assistance, you would like to be able to stand in the gap for them. And if I can be a ray of sunshine for any child, that's what I'm here for.
You know, being a ray of sunshine for a child where you're in your hometown, but then being a ray of sunshine up here in the midst, because there's some darkness up here sometimes. We get so busy caught up in all these different battles and so forth. I think you haven't lost focus at all about children. I know that's what you told me your interest was really to come up here and be a strong advocate, both educationally and for child welfare. As your experience that you had and being a foster mom for teenage girls, let's talk about, I think sometimes painting the picture, warts and all. Let's paint the picture, because we're doing some great things. Florida's considered one of the best in America. But let's talk about some areas we can improve. What are some of the areas, especially some of these children aging out of care? Tell us what you think in that area.
Once a child turns 18 years old, they are able to start pretty much living on their own. And a lot of times they're not ready. And to actually push them out in this cold world is hard.
Right.
I know when I was 18, I was not ready.
Right,
and
there you go.
The girls that I have fostered, 18, they're not ready. So I have continued to open up my home for girls that's in the process of doing transitioning. If they still need a little time to stay, to get themselves together, my home is always open. Because I feel that a solid foundation is needed. And if you're able to help them cross over to a place where they can actually start taking care of themselves and understanding the world a little better. 18, 19, 21, whatever it is, that child still need love.
And Florida has a system that allows for that, but even then, we still need to develop. And I believe this is an area that we're going to be looking to you to help us champion in the future. Right there out of Broward County, we have an organization, and frankly, I started it. It's called One Voice Impact. And IMPACT is an acronym that stands for Innovation, Music, Performance, Arts, Athletics, and Citizenship Training. In other words, how to become the next great citizen here in our state and in our nation. But you're going to do it by developing and understanding a little bit who you are. And Absolutely. You begin your talents and ability. I'm amazed at the unbelievable talent these children have. And sometimes we don't discover that for them, and we don't let them discover it. And so we put this organization together with the intention of bringing them along, getting the necessary life skills and developmental skills and relationship skills so that when they turn 18, 19, 20, listen, I wasn't ready either. And neither was my son or my daughter. I mean, during that time, even though we've been developing all those years, you're still always invested in them. I tell my kids, I'm always going to be your dad, and I'm always going to be there, and they're in their 30s now. So it's, you're still there for them. And sometimes these children do not have that opportunity. Absolutely. And so that's why I think it's important. So let's talk about some of the life skills, some things that you think that maybe we could begin to work with the legislature in helping develop.
Well, in my home, once I open my home up to children, they come in, they are my children. And I don't see myself as being a foster parent. I see myself as a parent that has stepped up to a child that's in need. The same thing I taught my children, how to cook, how to wash, how to budget, things like that. I bring that into the home when the children actually come in. And these are things that they actually learn while they're there with me. The world is a cold place and it swallows you up. Even if you're an adult, these things still happen. But as a child in your home, you have to be able to treat that child as they're your own child. You have to be able to pour that love into them, even if they are in their darkest hole, the darkest moments of life. As a foster parent, you have to be able to step up and understand some of the things that they are going through is not because of something they've done themselves.
You know, it's interesting. That could be a commercial for fostering right now. In fact, when we get to our time, we have foster care month. That's going to be a commercial right there, because I'm telling you right now, you just spoke the heart of almost every foster family I know. And Florida has a great system of developing and bringing foster families into and being engaged with children. But with me saying that, I'm always prepared to hear some things that we could do better. Let's talk about, how did you get involved in fostering? Did you and did somebody come out to you, or did you have to go and knock down the door and say, hey, I want to help?
Well, I was doing it in the community. Well, they were not foster kids. They were just kids that was in the streets. And I would open up my home and make sure they had somewhere that it was safe, somewhere they can come and get a warm meal, sleep in a warm bed. So I was doing this without knowing that I was actually doing a position of somebody that was actually owned a company. But because of the love I have for the children, it's part of who I am, how I was actually raised. My family would take kids in that needed a place to stay. So once I found out about a foster care system, pretty much, I went to them and inquired about it.
That's awesome. And I think that we are opening the door for as many folks to come in and be a part of our fostering at whatever level. A lot of people think of fostering as just the little children. You didn't. You immediately went to the teenagers, which is probably one of our more challenging areas that we need help in. All right, I'll close with this today. And again, thank you for your time. You are a wonderful champion for children. Any legislation that you were looking at this year or maybe looking at in the future that we can help you with and work with you on?
Well, before I actually close out with that, as a foster parent and as my voice being here to assist the foster children in my community, period, I don't see Republican or Democrats.
Amen.
I see a child that's in need. And as an adult, it's my job to step up to assist that child. So when I think of things that's going through the system, I don't see it as a Democrat or Republican, independent. I see a child that's in need and whatever I can do and my voice to be there to help that child. So some of the things that I have seen come across about legislation for foster children, I kind of think of myself not so much as a legislator, but as a child that's in need and a parent there to be that voice. So that's how I actually...
I was in D.C. and I had somebody ask me, the lady asked me, she says, are you a Republican or Democrat? And I said to her, I said, I'm the Child Welfare Party. I care about that. She goes, oh, I want to be a part of that party. I said, you are, as a legislator. And I think that's what you just articulated. And by the way, this is not a partisan thing. This happens to be one of these things where we have a lot of folks. You know, this system of care we have, a system of care in Florida that was actually started by a Democrat, and it was Buddy McKay, who was lieutenant governor and became the governor, and Lawton Childs, who was the governor. This is back in the late 90s. And then Jeb came in and said, hey, I love it. Let's go forward. And it became a bipartisan effort across the system of care. And I think that we've got to get back to that, that this is an area that we all work together for children and families and not make it into an area that's only for politics. Right. These are our children that we're involved in. The other thing that we're really working on is making sure that we have the right resources to be able to provide for our system of care. And I know that you've been a champion for that as well. And that means a lot to me, and I appreciate you. Any closing words that you'd like to mention?
Well, as I think about doing the work of the people here, it's my job to step up and be the voice of children that's in need. And that's what I'm here for.
And like your lapel flower, you're a ray of sunshine. And I just want you to know how much we appreciate you. Thank you. God bless you for coming and being with us today.
Thank you for allowing me to come.
I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of Nurturing Wellbeing. As you can see, we have some great leaders in Florida, and we're in good hands. And as we work and continue to work for children and families, we're going to continue to nurture well-being.